So you are new to this job. You've been on the job just for days at this point, right? How's that going?
Good. I'm just doing discovery at the moment, and so I'm just getting around meeting everybody and getting down on the vessels that are here. There's the four of them that are in here, and getting out on the vessels and meeting the crews, looking at how we're doing things, through the discovery period. And coincidentally, we have an American Bureau of Shipping audit happening today, and that's always good. That's our classification society that comes in and looks at our documentation, our safety management system of how we do things. So it's a good time for me to be diving into that side of it too as part of my discovery, and we'll see how that audit goes. So that's really, all I've been looking at. I will be focusing, on reliability is my number one area I'm going to be looking at, and working on making sure we have the foundational processes and procedures in place to be focused on reliability, and that's and having our preventative maintenance run through a what you call a CMMS, a computer maintenance management system. So we're pretty scripted on how we do our maintenance. So I'll be real focused on that to start with.
Okay, I'm kind of following the maintenance part. That's a little bit of an industry speak, but I was going to ask you about the fact that the ferry system has been suffering with an aging fleet. There's ships that are 50 and 60 years old, and they get tied up for mechanical problems and maintenance. So, can you kind of tell me a little bit more about what you're talking about?
What I'm talking number one is just how we do the maintenance on the boat and how we what procedures we have in place and how we do our maintenance. Every component on the vessel, from the main engines all the way to the steering pump, has an OEM required maintenance schedule, and we just need to make sure that we're digging that far. And so we'll make sure that our system has a hierarchy built up in it that gets down to every component. And that's what I'll be looking at. Now, age, as you mentioned, in the fleet, that gives another challenge. And so there are some things that related to age that do make it hard. And so, we will be working on the long-term portion of it. We will be working on fleet plans, replacements, and but at least have a retirement date set for different vessels based on their conditions as well. So every vessel gets to the point that is it worth even pouring any more money into it? Just like everybody's vehicle, it's really that same analysis.
Kind of what I'm hearing too is like we along the lines of funding. One thing I've noticed, I've been in Alaska for 22 years, and one thing I've noticed is I feel like Alaska residents who live along the coast, they see the Marine Highway as a road system to maintain, kind of like highways on land. They need funding and they need maintenance, and most of those highways are maintained with government funding. But a lot, some Alaskans and lawmakers on the road system don't necessarily see the Alaska Marine Highway system in the same light or in the same way. What would you tell those Alaskans?
So, the only thing I can do there is we have good fleet plans, and we have our budgets laid out well. We can tell the story of what we need to keep the vessels operational, and that you got to be focused on the planning side of this business, and that's what we'll do. And at least we can give that message to those that are involved in the funding. We're here to operate it, but we've got to tell them and give them exactly what the operating cost will be for the coming years so they can do the planning and it on the budget side of it as well.
Kind of backing up a little bit to you in the beginning, you talked about your work experience, which is coming from the marine industry. You worked for a couple decades for Crowley in Alaska, and then before that, you were out of Texas with a tug and barge company.
Like I said, in Alaska, and then took a package from them in 2016 after 39 years there, and then a competitor called me. I had actually come back. My home is in Alaska in Nanilchik, and but I was working in Texas. I have a residence in Texas as well. And so for Crowley, I was managing the operation out in the Texas and the Gulf, and also up here in Alaska. And so the competitor called. They needed some help. They'd had some issues, and were under. They'd had some incidents that their board said you need to go hire some offshore experience. So I went to work for Kirby Marine, a pretty large company with 500 tugs and 1,400 barges and offices all around the U.S. And but we helped them right the ship that they had, and I did my 6 years with them. March 1st was 6 years, and I fully earned out the equity they promised, and so I was ready to get back up to Alaska. I had an office in Alaska for much of the time there with Kirby as well. So I did get a chance to get home every now and then, but it's, I was in the corporate office in Houston, and glad to get back up to Alaska.
So though all those decades, that's mainly transporting petroleum products and supplies?
No, with Crowley, yes, we did many things. Very diverse company. The Crowley Fuels, I integrated those companies that we acquired and set that up as Crowley Fuels. That had a marine component. It had a trucking component with 120 trucks, 20,000 customers. So you had that whole range of it, and I had P&L responsibility for that as well, even though you know, my background is marine. I've still been on the P&L side with these entities as well. When I went to Kirby to help them, they're strictly into large ATVs, 500-foot vessels, moving chemicals, hot asphalt, and petroleum products. And we did have a couple sugar barges, but moving raw sugar in bulk carriers, but not into general cargoes. And that was mostly just petroleum products. That they're very, like I said, they're a very large company. I just, for them though, I just ran the new construction. We built a few new big, large ATVs, 185,000 barrel. And I ran the maintenance and engineering, maintenance and repair. I ran the engineering department, also the marine operations department, just in, working to get, you know, our reliability up and our operational excellence where we needed to be to maintain the contracts that they had. And we did turn a lot around there. Had some good success with them. And when I left, we had had less than 1% downtime for vessels offline for 2 years in a row. And that moved them up where they had over 20% downtime prior to that. So it's just a lot of that same thing coming in and trying to set up the procedures to do things and manage our preventive maintenance.
How would you describe your leadership style? Because in your past job and now here, you're working with hundreds of people.
Yes. And, you know, it's Kirby's large. Like I said, you know, there's 6,000 employees there. As far as on the vessels, so it's had a lot of vessels. But I'm still very much a people's person. I'm involved. I like to be on the boats. I really like to have the office knowing that we're here to support the vessels. And I like to see us on the boats. I have a program called Boots on Steel. Others use it, but I just need to make sure everybody's out there engaged, knowing what the needs are. And that we're here to support the vessel so they can deliver the customer service we need.
I'm interested in knowing why you went after this job. There's a lot of challenges with the Alaska Marine Highway System. We talked about the aging fleet, but there's also a severe, you know, shortage of crew and some staffing shortages. And it's just there's the operations board, the legislature created the AMHOB, and you know, there's just a lot of challenges facing the system. Funding is always an issue, you know, depending on who's governor and who the lawmakers are. Why seek this out?
You know, you're not the first one to ask me that question. So it's, you know, it's like I mentioned, I had done my 6 years. I was ready to get out of Houston. I've always liked the ferries. You know, they're a unique ferry with a good big ship's bow. They're ocean going. I like that. And as far as challenges, you know, when you're in business, sometimes challenges are fun. You know, let me come tackle that. And that's just what I was doing at Kirby, to be a part of the solution there. And here we're going to dig in, see what we can do. And as you point out, there's a lot of challenges. The hiring or trying to find qualified, licensed individuals is not unique to the ferries right now. It is an industry problem across the U.S. We were the same way at Kirby, and we had to be proactive to strategically try to beat out our competitors out of every licensed guy coming out of a or gal coming out of a maritime academy. And as they graduate them each year, we're there. We're there. We're taking them out to lunch. We're taking them to dinner. We're just trying to sell them on coming to work for us. And we need to do the same thing here. But there is a shortage of people. It is a fact, and it's driven costs up because everybody has had to raise their salaries just to keep the people. And it's just the nature of it, because many of these positions around the country for different companies, they can live anywhere in the U.S. and work for that company wherever, and so it's hard to hang on to them. They don't have to move to go work someplace. They can live wherever they want. So it is a real, very competitive right now for these positions. But we will work, we'll work on it. We'll try to come up with strategic ideas to bring them in. I mean, I've seen the stories out about, like I said, I'm new to it, but I see the stories about 200 applicants. Well, it doesn't matter how many applicants there are. If we don't have the licensed people, we can't crew the vessel. So you can have 200 applicants for the starting positions, but if I don't have licensed people to operate it, it doesn't matter how many applicants for starting positions. So we'll have to kind of change that to show people where we're short, and not be focused on how many applicants for the opening positions. We need to show where we're short on the licensed people to operate it, whether it be the masters or the engineers. And that's where our struggle is at. And like I said, that's for every company right now, unfortunately.
What do you think about the on-the-job training to get those licensed employees? Maybe you get a lot of applicants, but they don't have the experience that they need, but they're able to get on the ship.
6 years to get a license. So that's a very long term. And that is a way to go. We call that hawse piping. You start on the bottom, you work your way up. But that's a number of years, 7 years, and by the time you can get all the way up. So that doesn't take care of us in the short term. We'd have to hire, especially the real shortage is in the engineering roles more than officers, but officers is a challenge as well. But it's getting... licensed engineers right now is a real challenge. And again, that's a role that you can't step on and just learn in a couple of years and get your certificates from the Coast Guard. You have to have a certain amount of sea time before you can even move to one level, like a second engineer, and then move to a chief engineer's more time. So that is a long-term play in doing it that way. And that's why you go to the academies, because they've done their 4 years and they come out with the license. And then they can come to work. And so, or you're trying to steal from somebody else. And I think we have a good story here for some kids would love to come to Alaska. I mean, what better place to sell running this inside passage? It's a lot more beautiful than other parts of the country. So, you know, we've got to push that as part of our sell as well.
We've talked about several different things. What would you like to accomplish first? Some of these things, like we're talking about licensing crew or the aging vessels, it'll, you know, take some years. But what, you know, you've been on the job just days. What's like the first goal you want to tackle?
First thing for, you know, for the office here, we just want the team, you know, cohesive and working together. But for overall, though, for the operation, it's reliability. We got to focus on reliability. We don't have a service to sell if we're not reliable. And the last thing we want to be doing is selling something with and disappointing people. So we will focus on reliability. It's not a quick fix. There's a lot of things foundational, like they say, we have to go dig down in and make sure we put in into play that we have in our management systems. And that's what we'll be working on. And then, you know, for the long term, you know, we will be working on fleet plans at the same time. And we have to have a fleet plan, and everything we do needs to, you know, line up with that in our decision making. So we will lay out a long-term fleet plan as well.
What are your thoughts on vessels that are hybrids, or that nationally there's a, you know, the federal infrastructure bill kind of providing some funding for alternative ways of doing things with battery power, for example? What are your thoughts on a fleet that's not, that is a hybrid or possibly even all electric?
All electric has limitations, but, you know, as long as we have a run that fits for that, it's a short run. At Kirby, we just completed a all-electric vessel, and it took delivery here this month, April. So we'll, you know, it has its place. It's just working in the short, staying close to home port, plugs in every night. So there is a place for that, and it works. And then I was just also here in 2020 was awarded to build the five diesel electric feeder vessels for the wind farm project. And this is a project for Maersk. I led the design of those vessels. Kirby will start construction on those later this year. But those are a diesel electric design, a little more efficiency. You can manage your power consumption well with that. So it's a good program. It's initially not cheaper to build, but you get your savings over the life of the vessel.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have any other questions to ask you. Is there anything else that you would like Alaskans to know about you or your role as leading AMHS?
Okay. Really, I'm excited to be on board and start working with it. And you know, like you said, there are challenges, but you know, there's rewards, and when you get some things going in the right direction, and we're going to work on that. It takes time. There's not a quick fix to any of this, but we just got to make sure we set it up right, and put the effort to make it right, and that's what we'll be focusing on with everybody on the team here. I've been really pleased with the employees I've met. Really good. We got a really good crew in the office here. They're looking to do it right as well. And the conversations have been real good. So anxious to continue working with the ball.